Hey, everyone. I'm Alan Schimmel. You're watching the Textron Gang. Stick with us today as we talk about modernizing DevOps, MLOps, and our newest Textron site. This is the Textron Gang. All right. Hi, everyone. We're back here on Textron Gang. We've got a great section or a couple sections of topics to discuss. We've got a great group of people to discuss them. Let me introduce you real quickly. Joining us from the D.C. area, our good friend and original gang member. Don't take that the wrong way. Tracy Bannon. Hey, Trace, welcome.
Hey, how are you guys doing today? Thanks for the invite.
Thank you. Thanks for joining us. Joining Trace from Colorado, where he's based, Textron CTO and a principal researcher for and head of Textron Research, our own Mitchell Ashley. Hey, Mitchell, good morning.
As always, good to see everybody.
All right. And then here in Textron HQ in lovely Boca Raton, Florida, I'm joined to my immediate left by our Echo Insights editor and general expert on all things green and meteorology and more, Bonnie Schneider.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Thanks, Bonnie. Welcome. And then last but not least is our chief content officer, Mike Vizard. Mike, welcome.
Happy to be here.
Why don't you kick it off?
So there's a lot going on in the land of DevOps, and it's worthy of a deeper conversation about what exactly people should take away from all of this stuff, because most recently we saw a company called Octopus Deploy acquire another company called Codefresh. And if you dive into that, there's a lot of conversation in there about how to modernize DevOps. And we hear the same thing from JFrog, we hear the same thing from CloudBees, we hear it from Harness, and we hear it from GitLab. And everybody's kind of talking about the same general motion, but in all slightly different parlance maybe in slightly different context. So I'd love to get Tracy's perspective on what's going on here, because I saw her a couple of months back up at a CloudBees event in New Jersey, and it was a very similar conversation. What are we talking about here with the modernization of DevOps?
I think there are a couple of things. I'm going to cover three items that popped into my mind. Well, the first one is what we're calling platform engineering. And when we met at CloudBees, one of the things that was happening was that they're rolling out their new DevOps platform or application platform. So we're seeing a dramatic increase in trying to figure out ways to keep humans from making mistakes. So codifying leading practices, taking it down so that there's more than just a DevOps pipeline, extending it into development, keeping it full blown into your runtime, your production environment. So that's the first thing. And that we will be seeing an intersection with low code, no code, I'd say in about 18 months to 2 years, because they're all trying to do the same thing, make it easier for people to deliver value faster. That's the first thing. The second thing is the rise of DevRel. You guys have heard of developer relations. DevOps has a DevOps evangelist. That role is still there, but helping to create that relationship between the technical folks and the business is still a need. We still have to get this alignment of business and tech, whether or not we're talking about all the new technologies or not. And the third thing is hyper-automation. Whether you talk about it from a generative AI perspective, AI, whether you're talking about it from using some of the existing RPA, the robotics process automations, hyper-automation, continuing to reduce that cognitive load. So those are like the three biggies in my mind right now.
Mitch, do you agree with that perspective? And I'd like to add you a little something else on that. How easy is it to do that? Am I ripping and replacing an existing platform, or am I trying to extend what I currently have? And what is that? How do we get from where we are to what Tracy just described?
Well, first, I agree with Tracy. She touched on three really great topics that are all part of modernizing this. You mentioned platforms. One of the things that always is a challenge is once you've invested in setting up a CI/CD process or whatever it might be that's part of your DevOps workflow, those things don't just rip and replace easily, right? Just take Jenkins, for example, and the popularity of how it's still in use today. There's different numbers around, but I think what's happening, though, is while those things have sustained us, the market is working in a kind of challenging financial climate, trying to figure out how people continue to innovate. And I think that's one of the reasons why, you know, we saw Octopus deploy, acquire Codefresh, which is all based around Argo and open source platform, and trying to innovate that and also bring in sort of the GitOps perspective. And I don't think GitOps is necessarily going to take over the world. It's not for everybody, but it's great for some teams as well. So right now, I think we're still in this incremental development, though that's something we're looking at as part of our DevOps Next report that Alan mentioned will come out in May.
All right, I got to call BS on all of this. I think you got it all wrong.
I can't imagine you got it wrong.
It's all wrong.
No,
all
right. Strongly disagree. You're looking at point solutions and trying to pick point solutions as makers of trends. Trends aren't points, right? Trends are trends. When we talk about modernizing DevOps, you know what? It's not even my thought. I got this from Jody Bonsai, who's the CEO at Harness. What we're seeing in DevOps right now is the evolution of a concept that was born 13 or 14 years ago. Mm-hmm. Right? And it was very much, tools were the third shortest leg on the stool. Culture, process was equally or more important. But as Jody says, you're talking about coming from a landscape of point solutions, of cobbled together DevOps solutions. I had Jenkins. I used one of the 1,500 plugins that come with it to make it work with that. And then I hope put something else in here to make it work with that. And I moved from waterfall to DevOps. Well, guess what's happened? We've got cloud native. Cloud native is the dominant new stack these days, especially for new deployments, right? Mm-hmm. For greenfield deployments. Cloud native means Kubernetes for 95% of that. If you're doing DevOps and your DevOps solution can't work in a cloud native environment, hang it up and go home. You're done, right? This is the problem with Jenkins, why we saw Jenkins X and why we see all of these things. This is what's driving Octopus Deploy and an Argo, right? Because the fact of the matter is Codefresh is Argo, right? Which is probably the second or third.
Yeah, I'm wondering.
I don't know that we're disagreeing.
I'm wondering if you're just violently agreeing with her.
No, I'm not. Because I don't think it's about platform engineering. I don't think it's necessarily GitOps. I think it's a much bigger wave of maturation of platform to a platform from point solutions.
Yeah, I think what I would add to that, Alan, is we're at the, you know, there are some DevOps companies that have been taking this platform approach and kind of leading the charge, if you will. Mm-hmm. And others are figuring out how do they play in that world, right? Can they stitch together or can they re-architect under a platform approach across that isn't just integrated, you know, various products across customers? Those folks are in a different place than, you know, the folks who've been doing platforms that are DevOps for some time. So it'd be interesting to see where that goes. Some have got a head start, some are playing catch up, especially where you're not going to raise a bunch of money, which is one of the reasons why I pointed that out about.
But I'm going to come back to the Argo platform engineering piece. Why there's a rise of that.
Tracy, I was just going to pose a question to you in terms of modernizing DevOps. You know, one of the things we're seeing is a movement towards more sustainable operations, reducing energy, reducing the physical architecture of each of the different elements. And I'm wondering if that's something that you're seeing that's coming together as part of modernization of DevOps.
Definitely. Green IT is absolutely a part of it, though. Folks are getting sometimes mixed up when they think that their data center and the cloud are somehow, the cloud is not taking those valuable resources. Water is the next resource that we're starting to talk about, not just of the energy itself, but the water consumption. And that touches in on our incorporation of the automation into modern software, because as we're automating, we are leveraging newer and different technologies like AI that require vast amounts of compute. So the platform piece of this, kind of to track back and tie this all together, platforms have been around for decades. I created them to help developers 20 years ago. The point of DevOps morphing back and readopting what's old is new again has been to increase value delivery, reduce the likelihood that developers make mistakes, so better codifying those things. For me, it hasn't been which platform do I buy, but how am I going to accomplish the mission based on where we already have the investment and based on where the future. Now, you guys know, though, that my goal is always to come at things very objectively. I want to leverage. If you already have something that we can leverage and it works and it gives you what you need, it doesn't mean that you have to rip and replace. I actually don't advocate that because there's a fair amount of cost in replacement. It's evolution, like Alan said.
Okay, we're good with this argument?
No, I said what I had to say. Look,
he said his piece.
I think it's going to be in DevOps next, right? That this is the evolution of DevOps, and you know, the there may be 1,000 points of light, but when it all comes together, it's a picture.
And but hasn't it always been that way, Alan? DevOps from the very beginning has been continuous improvement, continuous change, and part of the problem has been that people didn't really adopt that mindset. We're going to get to DevOps. We're going to have a DevOps maturity model. We're going to have a DevOps. We're going to be DevOps. Part of what's happening now is this realization that, oh, this is all about continuous change. It is all about being able to tool your organization to continually adopt and embrace new technologies, right? At the speed of relevance, at the speed of the threat that's emerged, et cetera. So I think we're seeing a whole bunch of industry and everybody rationalizing, we said we were going to do that. We didn't really do that. And now it's pressing forward and it's coming and dropping in our laps that we need to change.
It is. DevOps is a journey, not a destination.
Yeah.
And DevOps is never done. Okay.
Agreed.
It seems like to me, though, there's a lot more debate about DevOps lately because, I mean, Tracy had a post up on LinkedIn and talking about some arguments that people are having about various philosophies of DevOps. And we have a piece where a fellow is talking about shouldn't be shift left at all. We should just fix things in production as we go along. And it doesn't seem like there's a lot of consensus about what DevOps means to each individual team.
But that's always been true of DevOps. When you have a framework, and if we're going to call DevOps a framework, when you have a framework that doesn't have a standardized definition or manifesto or and purposely didn't want that, you are going to have differing opinions and differing schools of thought. And that's okay because, that's the whole thesis synthesis kind of argument, right? Out of thesis and going back and forth, consensus is reached. And I think that's what modernizing DevOps is about, is reaching the consensus. You know, when we first started DevOps Institute, people were really upset. How could you be teaching DevOps? There's not a best practices of DevOps yet. We don't have a best practices. And one of the things we used to say is there's an emerging practice, emerging best practices. Here we are 10 years later, we're still emerging best practices. And it'll continue to be that because it's continuous progress. And I think that's what people need to realize.
You know, Alan, as I think about it systemically, you know, when we started all of us started in DevOps, we thought of it as CICD, right? That's kind of where the nucleus of it started and grew. You think it's essentially expanded left and right to embrace, essentially all parts of the development cycle. But we use words like DevOps tool chain. Okay, there's your integrated point to point to point to point, right? It kind of links in the chain. And at some point, that chain gets really heavy. The more links you add on, the more maintenance you have to do, the more kind of care and feeding that takes. And I think that's part of what's driving this evolution to platforms, right? You know, every development leader, manager, engineering manager ask the question frequently, are we a DevOps tool or are we a tool shop or are we a software shop for our business? What are we doing? I'm spending so much resource on managing this stack for the tools. And I think that's what's got to change about how we implement DevOps on the technology side. Think about it from a platform perspective.
Well, to build on that, Mitch, you're spot on. when we, you guys know for a long time, I've been an advocate against the term a DevOps engineer, which implied that I have a jockey focused on just managing and maintaining tool chains and pulling those things together, because it's not the person that's designing the software to deliver out, and they weren't monitoring and managing production. So there was this awkwardness. Platform engineering actually starts to merge and get after leading practices from a software delivery perspective, because those platform engineers are not tool jockeys. They are stitching together necessary lean amount of tools, but working with the developers who have to be pushing that, you know, pushing value out on top of that. So it's actually building better consensus in the organization by having a platform engineering team, which is acting as a service provider, as opposed to the tool team that was, you know, to your point, providing a really heavy and sometimes burdensome, shouldn't have to have that big a team to create those tools to support those tools, right? Platform engineering allows you to get smaller.
Why? Because the platform engineering team is smaller than the DevOps mm-hmm. engineering team?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Fewer of them. Yep.
When I see it, I'll believe it.
All right. Challenge accepted.
All right. All right. Like most philosophical debates, it never ends. But yeah.
I think it's meet no the answers. Old boss, same as the new boss.
Just opinions.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's move on. Actually, before we move on, let's take a quick word from our sponsors. All right, we're back here at TechStrong Gang. Hope you enjoyed a contentious block one here on where we are with modernizing DevOps. If this is of interest to you, though, again, DevOps Next, our TechStrong research report. Mitchell and team are leading the effort there, and we're going to cover a lot of that stuff. Mike, what else do we have up for today?
All right, well, at the risk of throwing yet another grenade down the aisle, we're going to be talking about what is the relationship between MLOps and DevOps supposed to be? We've seen JFrog is kind of extending its reach from its CI/CD platform into machine learning operations that data scientists use, and a little bit of that distinction is that, you know, the MLOps folks have a set of best practices for creating the AI model. A lot of times they have been managing the deployment of that themselves. There's an argument that says that the model is just another software artifact and therefore it should be part of the DevOps pipeline and we need to meld these things together. I don't know where we are on this journey. The cultures are fundamentally different, thoughts, opinion. There goes the grenade.
Oof, I'll jump in on this one. So something that I've said for quite a while now is that we have to figure out how AI, MLOps, AI models, expert systems, now generative AI, flow into a workflow that's part of DevOps or part of how we deliver software. But understand that there are different characteristics, because what you're delivering with in MLOps is a model, a set of algorithms. Oftentimes it's also data, especially if you're doing generative AI data. And so you don't release that in the same way that you would release a new, you know, piece of code or microservices or whatever. You might have an update to the model, but you might also have new data or training of the model that also gets released. And so there's a new kind of synchronization about how, if we're releasing this, maybe it goes on a different cadence than the software does. Are there any interdependencies between that? Right now, they've kind of been on these two parallel train tracks, and they sort of get really close to each other, and hopefully nobody reaches out and loses an arm touching the other one. So I think it's really good that JFrog and others are looking how we kind of embrace MLOps and make that part of our delivery process.
So I think if you look at this deal, right, it was JFrog doing a partnership with a company called Quack. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just as a side note, one of the lessons I always learned in business development was when companies do OEM or partnership deals with you like that, generally means they didn't not buying you or acquiring you. I would have thought if JFrog was a little, you know, I think this is a toe in the water versus jumping in the pool of MLOps for JFrog. Otherwise, they would have bought Quack.
I don't think I agree with that specific point, because JFrog already has deals with Amazon for SageMaker and a bunch of these other things. There's 27 different MLOps platforms. You can't get them all.
Yeah, but when you're JFrog and you want to own the platform, you buy the MLOps platform. They're not going to be content using 27 different other ones.
I think you alienate 97% of the market when you do that.
I think both things are true.
That's the platform to point. Yeah,
that's your decision.
Right? You make that choice. When another, like a GitLab, for instance, has the same kind of thing. AWS does this all the time. They'll have an entry in a given category, but you could use a best of breed or something else if you want. But they need an entry in that category. And I think the fact that this was a partnership and not an acquisition says something. Secondly, though, to me, does MLOps, the technology of machine learning, data scientists, and stuff like this? But then there's also MLOps/AOps, which is a category we've seen develop over the last couple of years, more than that. My friend Dave Link, Science Logic, right? Big AI ops and MLOps. So, you know, when I hear MLOps, I start thinking, was this a shift right for JFrog or for any of these DevOps platform providers? Because the action's been on the shift left, right? Working with dev and getting software released. Where MLOps starts talking about observability and sort of post-deployment information, you know, metric gathering, is this a shift right into, you know, and it's still part of DevOps, right? You get your feedback loops and it helps you iterate and reiterate and all that good stuff, but it's a shift right.
Tracy, you want to jump in here and set everybody straight?
Well, sure. I've been working with an AI assurance lab. And what does that mean? Well, it means that we have software, we have to have a DevOps mentality. We also have a DevSecOps mentality, quite frankly. We have to have ML ops, but we also have to have data ops. So there's this massive bifurcation. How many different ops types do we need? So we've been looking at how do we distill that down? I've been calling it personally XOps. I don't care how many different types of ops you have. You have to understand what's the collaboration, the integration, what are the automations that are shared, and what is your continuous improvement, and how do you make sure that you have agility and flexibility? Like, those are the basic principles of all the ops. Now, Mitch had said that, you know, an algorithm is different than migrating code. No, an algorithm is code. Code is code is code. When I deploy via DevSecOps, I deploy data too. So it's not as though we're suddenly doing things differently. What has changed is testing. That is the big piece that changes in all of this. Whether I'm deploying software where I can complete all of the automations, right, and I'm thinking DevSecOps, or I'm thinking about data ops, ML ops, or whatever we call X ops, the testing is the very different piece that's there. That assurance piece and the roles of the individuals that are involved in that testing. We don't automate entirely all algorithm testing. We don't. There are humans in the loop there. Boy, say that to somebody who's a DevOps aficionado and their, you know, their hair sets on fire. So yes, we are seeing an evolution. And at the same time, if we make a quick map and lay out the key principles of each one of them, they distill down to those same things. We've got to get after continuous improvement. We have to understand what our agreement is on the problem that's there. Are we seeing MLOps platforms? Yeah, we are. Do we need MLOps platforms different than our DevOps platforms? If you are deploying generative AI, AI, ML, if you are deploying algorithms as a capability to your end user, you should be thinking about how you intertwine those things, because that interface to get at that algorithm is that DevSecOps. So do I put it through pipeline A or pipeline B, platform A, platform B? So we actually have to pause just a little bit. I don't mean stop. Pump the brakes and think about what you're trying to accomplish. To Mitch's point, It may be at a different cadence, but it doesn't mean that you have to have completely separate platforms, completely separate approaches to doing this. We should be looking to collapse those in. And that's what we're actually doing right now. What I am doing at the moment.
It seems
how do I collapse that in?
I'm sorry, go ahead, Bonnie.
No, I was just going to say, if you're integrating more processes together, you are reducing the amount of redundancy, which is in turn going to use less energy and make things just more automated and flow better. So I'm just thinking that I'm seeing a bigger picture in across our conversations that we're having, that we are finding ways to do these processes with less resources, more streamlined, and in a way that can still produce great results, but not quite 100% everything altogether. That's just my takeaway.
I think I see it a little differently too. It isn't the ultimate goal isn't one platform to rule them all or one workflow to rule them all. And I think you do need different platforms for data management. You do need different platforms for model management and training and development. Because not only are they on a different kind of cadence, you don't develop models, you don't write algorithms alone. They work within a data environment that you're feeding to it and constantly training. And that takes a different skill. It isn't just writing code and testing it against a database. Just like managing a data environment isn't, data has gravity, right? You deploy it into production, you just don't pull it back easily, right? Because its state has changed drastically since you might have put it into production. And the same is true about models. So I think we don't want to try to collapse all this into the singularity of DevOps workflow.
We want to step back and say,
a model's going to be a model. Generative AI we're still early in the process of learning how to deploy these, more or less create them. So to me, it's kind of rushing to the end zone and we haven't kicked off yet.
Right. So I'm not going to disagree with you. I'm going to sort of agree with you.
Okay.
So I don't believe in a great singularity. I never have. You'll never hear me say that ever. It's always based on context. What I'm driving at is recently, I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago, GAO, right? The government's office, accountability office or accounting office released an AI framework, and it has 7 or 9 different types of ops that have to be somehow integrated to create some big discipline. And many of us, in looking at this and in understanding what they're trying to get at, they are looking at the bigger picture, as Bonnie mentioned, right? We need to look at the bigger picture. And at the same time, where there is unnecessary, that's the key term, unnecessary duplication, we need to be cognizant of that. Yes, there are different workflows. Yes, there are different individuals involved. And some of the things are similar. Every one of those ops has an automated, reproducible workflow. Do I need 5 workflow engines or can one work, can two work? So I don't want to get tools mixed up with process, mixed up with the value that we're trying to deliver, right? Yeah. Ultimately, the tools are important, but they are the least important in making the decisions on how we are getting after end value delivery. What are we trying to accomplish? Who am I delivering to and what am I delivering at the end of the day?
Last word on this?
I think, Tracy, you made some excellent points, as did Mitchell. Look, you really got to ask yourself, though, what do we mean by ML ops? I get there's a whole bunch of different ops. God bless them. I get that this generative AI, it blesses itself, right? But what is MLOps? For most of us watching out here, MLOps is tied into observability, really. It's become observability, AI ops. And is that what JFrog's making the deal with here? Or are they making the deal with doing multiple platforms with generative AI and all these other kinds of ops? I think it's a much simpler equation. But anyway, we're going to take a break because I got the last word, and why not?
Oh, you're so fun.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back here in a moment with our next segment.
SecurityBoulevard.com is the leading resource for news, analysis, and education on challenges facing the cybersecurity industry. SecurityBoulevard.com covers all aspects of cybersecurity, including data security, DevSecOps, cloud security, application security, network security, security threats, and more. SecurityBoulevard.com has the largest selection of security content, featuring breaking news, blog posts, podcasts, and more. Visit www.securityboulevard.com to learn more. SecurityBoulevard.com, home of Security Bloggers Network.
All right, back here on Tech Strong Gang, we've been having some great conversations. It's great to have Trace Bannon with us, Mitchell, myself, Bonnie, and Mike Vizard. Our next subject is, you know, we announced last week the launch of our newest TechStrong site, which is TechStrongITSM.com. ITSM, that's not new. What are you doing? I asked the same question of our chief content officer, Mike. Why'd we do it?
I think in our last segment, we explained why we're doing this, because there are so many different flavors of ops, right? And to Tracy's point, there's XOps. And I think early on, we got into this DevOps versus ITSM debate and conversation that probably, in hindsight, was kind of silly. I think what we're seeing today is the two get melded together. A lot of times you'll see software engineers are using the same tool that an IT administrator uses just because it's simpler. Conversely, a lot of the ITSM tools have programming extensions that you're seeing a lot of the IT folks learning Python so that they can essentially do DevOps kind of things. So I think the world is melding together, and we want to be a part of that conversation. And a TechStrong ITSM site gives us a site that speaks to the traditional IT administrator in a context with DevOps. And ultimately, I think that's where the dialogue and the conversation is going. But, you know, that's my opinion. I don't know if you guys are seeing something else, but that's how I see it.
I'll just give you a high five. Because I agree with you. I'm dev married to ops, and we've been having this discussion for years. There's never been a reason to kick ITSM to the curb. Quite the opposite. It's been exceptionally helpful. Why do we not marry the two? There have been pockets of goodness this way, but I think standing up a site around this to really bring the conversation together and build out that community, spot on. Very much an advocate. Thank you, guys.
When, there's a nice evolution of this, too, because I think it's ITSM 4. It took a relook at ITSM.
IDLE 4.
And adopted a lot of the ideas behind DevOps and tried to incorporate that into. So it wasn't such an ops-only centric. It's like, how do we fit into this bigger paradigm? And I like how we've positioned it, you and Mike have positioned this as kind of filling in the gaps, right, between Agile and DevOps and ITSM and how these things happen. So it'll be interesting, you know, I think we're in a unique position to help bring those communities together through a site, through content, through discussion, you know, more inclusive of that. I'm excited to see where this goes.
I think that's a good point, because the more you're bringing these communities together, even within organizations that might come to our site, it's forging a culture of, with one hand knowing what the other's doing and just being more cohesive, because that seems to be an issue with all the different ops we were just discussing, and even ITSM within larger companies. There has to be communications between all hands.
So first of all, let me put a quick plug in. Later this month, I think it's March 23rd. I'm not 100% sure. It might be the 24th. If you go to techstrongevents.com, you'll see it on there. We are working with our good friends at PeopleCert, who are the people behind ITIL, and also the people who now operate DevOps Institute. And, you know, DevOps Institute always put on people's skill up days once a month where they would examine relevant subjects within DevOps. We're now doing that once a month, but 1 month it's ITIL, 1 month it's DevOps, another month it might be project management prints too. So this month is an ITIL ITSM month, and it's a great lineup if you check it out on techstrongevents.com. Again, that is with PeopleCert, the people, you know, the owners of ITIL and DevOps Institute. I wrote an article for the launch of the site, and it kind of sums up my thoughts on this, which is IT is a continuum today, right? Whether you go from the far, far left, where, believe it or not, it's the business people who are involved. What do we need? What do we need from IT? What can IT do to help us with our business? Through what today is agile is pretty much, you know, not to say that there's not plenty of waterfall out there, but agile is 25 years old, well established, people, you know, think of incremental development and stuff like that. A lot of people, when I first started DevOps.com, said, you know, DevOps picks up where idle leaves off. And in my mind, ITSM and ITIL as part of that kind of pick up where DevOps starts trailing off, right? So there's an overlap there, but clearly towards the tail end. And so this continuum of the software development lifecycle is one continuum. And now we don't have an agile site. Maybe that's something for you to work on, Mike. But we certainly have DevOps, and now we have ITSM. And so to me, that's why it really does make sense to have this.
Tracy, do opposites attract? I mean, are we going to have more of these romantic relationships between DevOps and ITSM folks?
Or I believe in that entirely. And the reason that I do is that you've often heard me say, oftentimes in DevOps, we just forget the ops part. We talk about it and we bring ops into the conversations, but we're not focused on operational excellence. And that is ITSM. That's why the ITIL frameworks were created in the first place. Yep. So, yeah.
It's long overdue.
Yes, it is long overdue.
Proof in the pudding. And by the way, the event is on March 26th, I believe,
okay.
Alan. I was looking over the topics of what people are speaking on, and it isn't just ITSM or IDLE, right? It's some of the topics range from how IDLE can fuel your event or your rapid response plan, how integrating IDLE with emerging technologies, how the power of DevOps tools and supercharging IDLE process. So it's naturally evolving to this conversation of not just about one vertical discipline, but how the benefits and power capabilities of different disciplines can work together to achieve more. That's all for the good, as far as I'm concerned.
I'm going to take it back to what we said in the first section that we talked about earlier today. Continuous improvement, continuous evaluation, continuous evolution, continuous. Be open to that mindset of changing. And we're seeing that. I think there's a bit of a forcing function making people change, right? You're either pushed by circumstance, pulled by dream. I think we're being pushed in a good way to have to merge these things. We have to just be more cohesive in order to have the operational excellence that's necessary now.
Long live Bonnie, the continuum.
All right, a plug for everybody who's watching this. We need you to contribute content to make this little vision a reality. So by all means, you know, send in some emails to mike@techstrong.com saying, hey, I got a great idea for an article.
mike@techstronggroup.com.
Sorry.
Or just send it to editor@techstronggroup.com. It gets to us. This way Mike doesn't get spammed. I do. Mitch, did you have a question for Bonnie?
Yeah, I was just thinking, I don't know if it'll show up in this particular event, but it seems like sustainability, whether you're talking about writing more efficient applications, more efficient infrastructure, operational processes, flows through this whole through all these topics.
There's
at least one thread that ties them together. There are multiple, but I'm curious your perspective on how that's being embraced by the different communities.
That's an interesting point because I was just having a conversation with some folks in Europe about this yesterday, and it seems like it's readily being embraced, particularly on any way we can reduce redundancy, limit energy overuse, and that does go towards observability, but also just in general of how we're powering data centers and things like that. So I would say that looking at 2023 to 2024, I'm seeing an increase in this overriding theme of sustainability and watching how we're using energy and becoming more energy efficient than I saw just a year ago. So it is a growing interest, even in North America as well.
Very cool.
I think that's also tied to cost. People have figured out that energy equals more consumption and it equals money. I would love to say that people are doing this because, you know, they care about the environment, but I think the green part they do care about is in their wallet.
I would disagree with you on that based on the audience that you're talking to. I was talking to some folks in the UK yesterday, and it was very much about their passion for sustainability,
right,
especially when it comes to water. Right? Yeah. We're all talking about the sustainability of the electricity needed for this, but these things need to be cooled. All of these data centers need a massive amount of water, and that's not as renewable. It's mm-hmm. just not. So where are the, you know, talking about the infrastructure that's necessary to get to the compute power that we want, and the blast zone of all of this generative AI and the amazing compute that's necessary for that, it's daunting. I'm really going to be following you, Bonnie, to see, you know, where you go with reporting and doing the research on the sustainability aspect of this.
I say bring your motivation, whatever it is. I'll
yeah, no, bring it's, whether it's green or green. Or
green water.
Yeah, but, you know, and I will say, as an American, unfortunately, I think you get that kind of sentiment over in the EU a lot more than you do here, where mm-hmm. we can't even stop fracking, knowing the damage it does. So,
as a Pennsylvania resident with friends who own farms where fracking has been, you know, has caused environmental issues for them, yeah, you are spot on. Sometimes mm-hmm. the physical
it's
grain
the American way. It's all about the dollar, unfortunately.
It is.
Whatever.
Right. Now we have to end on a positive, though, yeah. Alan.
Let's end it on a positive, though. You know what? We've got an ITSM site up. There's all kinds of great things going on in DevOps. And this is our first show of the week. We've got two more days of great Tech Strong Gang coming up. Join us for those. We'll be back with the gang and maybe some new gang members. Until then, though, this is Alan Schimmel for Tech Strong. Tech Strong Gang, have a great day.
Discover the cutting-edge insights of our new show, AI Times, a series that explores the limitless potential of artificial intelligence. Sponsored by the AI Infrastructure Alliance, the AI Times is at the forefront of the AI revolution, tackling the crucial questions of how we can leverage AI for the betterment of humanity. Stay ahead of the curve as this show delves into all things surrounding AI, including trends, pressing concerns, and the positive impact AI is making around the globe. AI Times,